You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hello Cheeseheads, welcome to another episode of the Cheese Room podcast. This week we're talking about the draw against United. Probably a game that we might have reason to feel slightly like we should have come away with a win. A good opportunity to beat United, but still a draw away at Man U is always a good result. Right, joining me to discuss all the way from South London, it's Mr. Paul Muir. How are you doing, Paul?
Good evening, Mr. Franco. I'm all right, thanks. Good evening, good afternoon, good morning, wherever you're listening in the world. Yeah, I thought that was 2 points maybe dropped today, to be honest. We're going to come into it. I felt that, you know, that United team are, as we see, nothing very special. And we had a good chance there of, like, you know, kind of like coming away with a good away win. And to keep in touch with the top two, top three. But not meant to be, but yeah, but there's loads to talk about, which I'm looking forward to doing.
Good stuff. Also joining, all the way from Brazil, probably watched half the game whilst cooking a barbecue. It's Bren, how you doing, mate?
I'm good, mate. No, I got the whole game in. I was doing a barbecue at the same time. I'm multitasking. That's what we do out here.
Check Bren out.
Yeah, no, that was for a neutral, that was a good game. And for us, yeah, fine. Like, I'm not overly gutted about that. That was fun to watch. We probably edged it, but don't think we had the cutting edge. Just Captain Obvious speaking here, we missed Sun, but but yeah, like that like you said, a draw away at United, never a bad result.
No, I mean, look, we've still got issues with the squad. We'll talk about the lineup as we always do. We've still got players out, we've still got players injured, away, absent on international duty. And then it sounds like there's been a cold going through the squad as well, and a few of the players
actually. A little sniffle going through the squad.
Come on, Paul. All your chat about elite athletes and at the top end, it's that marginal difference. I mean, a cold could be counted as a marginal difference.
Get some Benylin. Go and get some Vicks. Get one of the guys to run down to the pharmacist or Boots and get you a load of, like, Beechams. Come on.
Yeah, because they always work perfectly instantly, don't they? Out from the squad today, we still had Madison, Kulu, Lo Celso's turned into his glass-like self once again. Sun away, Bissouma, Sarr away, Sonnemann still not quite back. Perisic likely to be out for the rest of the season still. Davis picked up that injury in the last game. Valise doing his final minute heroics. And Dane Scarlett managed to pick up an injury in that game as well. So, like, the list, it just grows, doesn't it? Like, one or two players come back. And today, Paul, we had, you know, virtually full strength defence for the first time in what seemed like ages, didn't it? But yeah, then we had players missing from the front line. The team pretty much, in that sense, picked itself, didn't it?
It did, yeah. It was nice to see Van de Ven back. It was, you know, I don't really believe anything Ange says about players coming back anymore. You know, Bentancur, it was like a magician's trick. Like, look over there, and like you whip the kind of curtain back, and oh, look, it's Rodrigo Bentancur. He's going to play for us again. So, yeah, so it was good to see Van de Ven and Romero back. And then the midfield, if it was anybody else apart from Man United, I'd be worried about our midfield today. But with Skip, Bentancur and Højbjerg in there against their midfield, I was always, and without obviously our fullbacks pushing into midfield, we were always going to outgun them and outman them in there. So I wasn't too worried about that. And it's really nice to see Timo Werner get a start straight in there from the get-go. He lasted the full 90 as well. So that's obviously a testament to him and what he's been looking after himself over in the Bundesliga, and then Richarlison. And we're going to talk about, well, I want to talk about Johnson, and we will talk about Johnson. But yeah, the team kind of picks itself at the minute. Subs bench, let's not talk about it. You know, two goalkeepers on there again, and it was like proper bare bones on it. It was, yeah, we need to get some bodies on that bench quite quickly.
Yeah, we do. I mean, you're right about the United team. They're in various forms of disarray at the moment. Obviously got a minority stakeholding takeover going on as well. There's a big deal about that. And bring that players out, didn't they? I mean, they're still missing players like Casemiro in the middle. So they end up playing like 18-year-old Kobbie Mainoo and Eriksen. And it was a strange sort of midfield. Ours was quite defensive. Theirs to me seemed quite attacking. But I mean, there's no point really talking about the tactics or the decisions that Ange made, because like we just said, they've been made for him, haven't they? But how did you feel when you saw that midfield? Did you kind of concerned about where the creativity might be coming from?
Yeah, it looks stodgy, didn't it? Like you got Højbjerg and Skip in there, which is never good. It's never like you never sort of. No. But Bentancur obviously being in there is the sort of shining light. I thought he played very well today. Like I thought he was rusty against Burnley, but I thought Bentancur was superb today. Obviously took an amazing goal. But yeah, like it was that midfield. Yeah, was the sort of key area. The defence coming back, you sort of think, well, maybe Van de Ven and Romero just coming back for a big game at Old Trafford, maybe they'll be a bit rusty, but it's just reassuring to have them back. Bizarrely, though, it sort of, we felt more open than when we had Davies and Emerson Royale in there. but yeah, looking at the United team, there's not much there that scared me.
No, it's weird. They've got players like Garnacho who can score absolute amazing goals, but then for other games just does absolutely nothing. And you never really know what you're going to get with Man United. I think the thing for us today is just lacking that creativity. It's just so frustrating. We talked about Lo Celso saying, right, with Maddison out, maybe Lo Celso can come back. He missed the game a few weeks ago, came back, missed, you know, he's out now for who knows, a couple of weeks, month. Maddison's going to be back. And that's Lo Celso's chance gone, you know, unless Maddison is suspended or gets, touch wood, injured again. That's it for him. I just can't see it. He's like, he spent too much of his time at Spurs injured, and it's just frustrating because in games like today, he probably would have been a starter had he not been injured. So it's just, you know, we didn't have much options, and the team looks bare bones. We did talk a lot about sort of the lack of fixtures we've got. It's been a good time to sort of have players out and away. So hopefully if we can just get through this period, players are gradually coming back. There's talk of Maddison coming back in. So things are looking bright. But yeah, like we said, we don't know what team we're going to get when we play Man United, what they're going to be like. But Paul, I thought they obviously started off quickly with the goal, but
yeah.
they were at it to start with, weren't they? They came out. I think they knew that we start strong as well. And you could see that they were trying to sort of nullify what we would have liked to do to start with.
I think it's spot on there. Yeah. I mean, yeah, I like Garnacho. I think Nacho Garnacho, or whatever, how you pronounce his name, excuse me. I probably butchered that. I like him. I think he's a good offensive player. I think he can come towards a ball, come short, he can go beyond. Also, he's very, very good with a ball at his feet, and yeah, he gave Destiny and him were like a really good good competition, a good kind of like a battle today down that side. They started really, really well, yeah, and scored, and it had to be their 19-year-old pimply face Pratt up the front. I can't stand him, to be honest, this kid. He got in Romero's face a little bit later on in the game. It's just like Romero did really well, just like pat him on the head and tell him to sit down. But yeah, they started really quickly, and again, as most teams seem to do at the minute, they had a long ball over the top of Pedro Porro's head for their speedy player to run onto. It seems that opposition scouts, when they come to see us, see that as like it's a really nice pass from Fernandez. Took a quick glance up, Garnacho plays it inside in like first time, one touch, and hits it over the top of the head, over Pedro Porro's head, and then, you know, there's a bit of a mix-up, really. And they score, and it's like, right, okay, so this could be quite interesting now that they scored first and scored early. And they had Jim Radcliffe in the stands for the first time, next to Ferguson. There's kind of good vibe going around at the minute. He's got 20% controlling interest. Brouss was their sporting director, etc. And you think, oh, it could be one of those like quite tricky games. But obviously, we came into it. But to answer your question, they started off really, really well, and it wasn't a great goal. It was a horrible goal to concede, because we've seen it a few times this season that we got a bit mixed up in the back. And that long ball over the top of Porro when he's forward, he just doesn't seem to recover quickly. Romero doesn't come across to like stuff out of danger. So yeah, bad start.
But I think that's it. When the fullbacks are up the pitch and they're sort of in an exposed position, if that ball gets played across, that's how the system works, isn't it? The centre back has to go across to cover, and then the centre back and the left back, or if it's the other way around, have to sort of fit in, which often leaves somebody, one of their players, at the back post unmarked. And you know, we kind of wing it a little bit, I think, when that happens. But for the most part, it's all right. But I don't know, everyone was just a bit standoffish and a bit fortunate because Udogie puts in a tackle, doesn't he? And it just falls straight to him.
Yeah.
And then Bren, it's do you blame Romero for that? A little bit rusty. He's just sort of got his arms behind his back and doesn't. He's a bit standoffish, isn't he? In that position of the penalty box.
I don't know. I think it was a really good hit. Like he spanked it. Like and so you have to give credit to the opposition team as well in these instances. There was a good break. Rashford stayed on when the ball's played up to him, and there was a bit of a lucky ricochet. It was weird. Like three of the goals today were in the sort of same sort of area of that side of the pitch, of that bit of the area. Ours as well, Bentancur's included. But yeah, no, I perhaps a bit rusty and holding back, but he just spanked it and yeah, like I'm not overly critical of the defence. I thought that there were other errors during the game that weren't punished that were worse than that. I thought it was a good hit, but from Højlund.
Yeah, I don't know. I just thought because it was so early in the game and it's, you know, you're putting it up to the speed of it, and it just seemed a little bit complacent, because that's one of Romero's biggest attributes, I think, is he's really great at shot stopping. He's normally really good. He gets in there so many times and makes that challenge. And the fact that he managed to get that shot away, yes, it was an amazing left foot crack. You probably couldn't have imagined he was going to hit it that well. But I don't know. I think maybe Romero could have done something there.
Do you think that maybe he's overcompensating? That the fact that we know he's been sent, he's got this aggression in him, that he's got this risk of the red, that maybe he was sort of holding back a bit. I don't know if that was the case in this instance, but I think maybe Ange may have spoken to him and said, look, you do need to temper it a bit because you've got this reputation now. Because every time there's a possible red card, there was one yesterday in the Newcastle, I think it was the Newcastle, yeah. No, it was the Chelsea game at Gusto, when he went in and everyone was saying, oh, if that was Romero, that would be a red. I think that his reputation precedes him a bit. And so maybe with that, he may have been a bit standoffish in that instance. But again, I just think it was a good hit.
And being made captain, so he's maybe trying to lead by example on his best behaviour. Yeah, so, I mean, that was disappointing. But I think, Paul, the reaction was pretty good, wasn't it?
Yeah.
We'd put a bit of pressure on. We had a few corners, and Porro was banging in some fairly decent corners today, but that one was really on his head. And we sort of had three players all in that central position, didn't we? And the United defenders just couldn't get near it. Richarlison, I thought, was a really nice header, though.
It was. Yeah, we had one just for that as well when it came over from our right. So it was an outswinger because on Porro's right foot. Porro today was superb. He got his defensive issue sorted out, particularly in the second half. Dead ball delivery. We know he can make a really sweet ball. Great shot in the FA Cup, obviously got us through against Burnley. He's putting balls in all season, which are high quality. But yeah, that we had a corner from the right hand side, which I think Bentancur got his head to it, and Onana
Dallow cleared it off the line.
Dallow drops back onto the post, doesn't he, all the time, and I think it goes out, and then a minute or two later we get a corner from the on our left, so it's an in-swinging corner, and Richie moving really, really well. Worked incredibly hard today. Worked really, really hard. Closing down 15-20 meter shuttle runs as I keep going about between the centre back and Onana. Coming down Onana's left hand side, so he has to punt it out to the right where we can like trap the ball and we can turn it over. Worked really hard. But the goal itself was just such a death flick because, as Brennan, I just said there, like Dalo drops back on the line and Dalo just watches it go past him because it's such a neat flick. And really nice to one for Richie, because obviously we know what he's been through with us, but also like important time of the game, excuse me, to get back on level terms.
Yeah, no, agreed. I kind of felt like after that we had the best of it as well. Man United didn't really have another chance until maybe like something like 30 minutes, but then it is that sort of ebb and flow of a game. Prem, where I think we're always tend to be quite good in games for the first 30 minutes, and we've seen in other games recently it's tailed off a bit, and we did sort of let Man United back into it just by slowing down a little bit, it felt like.
Yeah, like it's one of those weird things where I know it's never nice to go one goal down, but it kind of in a way it dictates the sort of pattern of the play for the remainder of the half. If you do go down early away from home particularly, that then you obviously the ascendancy is on you to equalise. Mm. So I think Man U sat off a bit, and then the crowd got maybe a bit quiet, and I think that worked in our favour. So I'm not saying it's never good to go goal down, but it just helps. I think the stats from the first half were like we had twice as many passes. Like there was 135 passes for them, almost 270 for us, to double their passes, 65% possession, which I think was the sort of overall possession as well. So yeah, we did boss it, and that's why I was a bit like, well, fine, we put a goal down, but we're making chances, we're in the ascendancy, and the goal for Richarlison, I think you guys may have seen this interview with ESPN Brazil with João Castelo Branco, the sort of guy that runs ESPN out here, and Richarlison was very open about the troubles he's gone through, and sort of saying like because he's from the countryside, and Brazil's quite a sort of patriarchal country, it's very sort of macho, and he said, look, coming from the countryside, so sort of opening up about going to therapy, having a psychologist, people just thought, oh, you're crazy, but he dealt with that, he referred to as prejudice, and he's continuing with his therapy. He said, no, I'm going to carry on, like it's really helped me, the club's helped me, so it was great to see, like he was. Even in the interview, it was quite emotional just watching it. So all through the games on this weekend, every half time is showing that interview with him. And so fair play to him. Like the Bombo, like I do love the guy. He's like 6-6 now. Like he's starting to show the sort of form that we want from our centre forwards. Obviously, no one's going to replace Kane, and that's not what he's there for. But he is contributing. And as long as he keeps it up, as long as he keeps putting in the effort like he did today, he'll only come good. So it was great to see that goal.
Yeah, look, I mean, the only thing you ever really expect of a forward is to score those goals. And I know, like, Kane did so much more, but he's a world-class striker. But in the system, all he needs to do is put it in the back of the net. And if we can get goals from corners and be a set-piece threat, and then that adds so many goals to our game. And I think, yeah, Richarlison, the last few has looked good. And look, honestly, today, his work rate was immense.
It's incredible what he did today. It was incredible. Yeah. It was magic.
He was giving their defenders a really hard time, even getting back to the edge of our box and making important tackles as well. So I think he absolutely busted a guy. One of his best games, if not probably his best game in a Spurs shirt.
I would have agreed, yeah. As well. All-round play, I thought that was his best performance. Why has he been with us?
very good. But yeah, frustratingly, like I said, Man United, we kind of tailed off a little bit, stopped putting the pressure on so much towards the end of the half. Man United got a few chances, and then their goal, again, slightly frustrating, Paul, because we just didn't down that side again with Porro, wasn't it? And
yeah.
I mean, in fairness, it's a nicely worked goal, a nice 1-2 and a calm finish, but just a little bit frustrating, wasn't it?
It's just, again, Porro gets pulled in too far into his left, into the centre-back position, and he leaves that space. And yeah, nice 1-2. And it comes to Rash. I think Rash had a chance just for that, but he didn't want to come. He didn't want to hit it with his left. But he got a chance with a goal. He got a chance with his right. It's just an instant first touch, and yeah, slides it into the corner. It's just unfortunately goes through Van der Ven's legs as well, which is a bit unfortunate. They hit the post just for that as well, because that was a doggy hit the post with his. But I don't know what Destiny was doing there. He'd done that for Udinese when I watched him versus Monza last season. He does that. He tried to chest it back, and he hit the top of his chest, and it came off the crossbar and stuff. So I don't know.
I wonder. Here's a question. I probably know the answer, but in situations like that, because the guy, it was Garnacho, I suppose, would have been outside of him or behind him when the cross came in, and he's obviously trying to get something on it because he's worried about the guy behind him. But Garnacho was offside, so if he headers it and that goes in. Do you see what I'm trying to say?
Yeah.
Should it not count because he was only doing that because I mean, is he interfering with play in that sense because he's playing on his mind that he needs to do something in order that the ball doesn't go to
him? I think chaos theory comes to that point and he goes, oh, what if Destiny misses it or whatever, and even though Nacho's offside, he still miskicks it or something. But
well, if Destiny doesn't do anything and it goes to Garnacho, then Garnacho is offside, but Destiny doesn't know that. That's my point.
I think the OG would have stood then.
I think it does stand. But here you go. Let's try and make the rules even more complicated. chaos theory arguments into it. Everyone would go mental. VAR would be going, what was he considering this or not? What would have happened next?
Yeah, when they scored, it was like everything was like, I was in our Slack chat quite a lot today. Our Patreon group, we have a Slack chat for games, and everybody was like, oh, Dr. Tottenham, because obviously Rashford's not scored for, yeah, like, I don't know, 25 years or whatever. And
16 hours of football. 16
hours of football and 250,000 school lunches, and he's still not kind of scored or whatever. So I better take that, actually. And, it happened to be him, and everybody was saying, oh, you know, Dr. Tottenham will see you now. And, you know, it was, again, a bit of a defensive mix-up, and you think that, yeah, that if Pedro, like, Porro keeps to the right-hand side where he should be, you know, rushes out there, he could try and shuffle onto the left-hand side and he doesn't get that striking. But, yeah, it's just a disappointing goal to concede. On the goal as well,
I think people, the defenders were thinking that, because Hoyland's assist, they were expecting to sort of pass it a bit stronger and it sort of almost let it hit him. I don't know if it was fortunate. I don't know if it was well weighted. If he meant it, it was a beautiful assist. But it kind of looked like the way when with the 1-2 that he just let it hit him, and it sort of fell really well into Rashford's pass. So again, like I said, we're here to sort of pick apart the game, but sometimes you just have to say, well, if he meant that assist, that was a beautiful assist for Rashford.
Oh yeah, and again, this is the thing about football, isn't it? Is that Man United, even though for most of the game we were on top of them, they do have some quality in that team. And even if they're not being consistent, I think that's their biggest problem at the moment. They've still got some quality and they'll kill you in those areas. And that's why it's quite a nervy game. Like, I hate playing Man United. When you see them around the box and stuff like that, I'm always thinking, right, they could get a goal here. And they did create chances.
But it's moments, though, isn't it, Franco? They're never going to camp. You're never going to feel camped in your 18-yard or your final third.
No.
They're never going to hem you in and like have 4 or 5 minutes of sustained pressure, are they? And like throw the ball in and try and work little triangles and then try and they'll try and get in the box. If not, they'll come back out like we try and do. It's always kind of like little kind of moments. They are good in transition because their front three or four is pretty good in transition. Yeah. But it's just these moments. Then I was never that worried that they were ever going to like just hem us in and like, you know, we were going to like struggle to get out and we were going to struggle to find the out ball or something like that. You know, it wasn't like you're going to play City or even Liverpool when they're going to just kind of strangle you and turn your gas off. But it's just, it's like their goal or their opportunities come from like, you know, Onana taking a quick kind of throw out and then like literally they're away. And they are a team that play the best in transition. And
Well, that was their entire tactic today, wasn't it? They were just basically trying to hit us on the break. You know, we had the majority of the possession and that was their plan. But even then, like you say, they weren't that great. I thought Udogie again was pretty comfortable at the back. I know Van der Ven looked pretty tired and had to go off in the end. Yeah. But the defence was all relatively solid. They had chances, but they're not brilliant.
And the Romero comes and crashes in that header and takes that little 18-year-old midfielder into like Onana. I'm just watching it now. Oh my god! If they do like Tottenham cinch it like they do on the official social media later this week, if there's a freeze frame of like him above that kid and like crashing into him, that's going as a screensaver on my phone. I love that.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Love that stuff. It's fantastic.
And he didn't get booked either today. That was my worry with Romero coming back as well, that maybe because he's just coming back and he'll be pumped up. Because that was the thing before the game, was that Romero is saying that he is available. It wasn't the club. It was Romero is saying, I'm playing in this fucking game. And that was my worry, that he was so pumped up for it that he may go in a bit too strong. But no, thankfully, no booking. I think it was only Bentancur, which was ridiculous, by the way, Bentancur's booking for kicking the ball away when he didn't.
That whistle went a good couple of seconds and he pumped it out, Brendan. That was rookie. Okay. I thought that was rookie from Bentancur.
It was a bit silly, but I still not sure that's a yellow. No. It wasn't like he kicked it away in disgust anyway. There's about 50 balls in the stadium anyway. Yeah. So
50 balls now, that's all right then.
It is. Oh, you've wasted all. And they just play extra add-in on time anyway. Like kicking the ball away for me is just, I don't care.
But you know, he didn't lose it as well as the thing I alluded to earlier with Hoyland as well. They tried to take a quick free kick. Tottenham and Romero and Haaland just stood in front of it to try and let his team get back into shape, and and he got right in his grid, and I think Poro came over and just gave him one of those gleaming white smiles that Poro's got with his lovely teeth, and the guy was like, oh, glare. No, he just pushed him away, and it was just, yeah, that was the moment I thought, please don't throw your head in there or something like that. You had a captain, yeah. And he was really cool. He went in with a 50-50 as well with Fernandez as well. Fernandez,
was it a 50-50? It just looked like he wiped him out on the halfway line.
No, it was a 50-50. Fernandez went in there with a ball as well, and Romero went in there to volley it right against him. And I think they've got grudging respect for each other, those two, because they had a good handshake and stuff at the end of the game. But that was a bit of, he missed times out. He's going straight into Fernandez. You know, Fernandez is going to do like a triple Salco with a twist and all the way down to the Stretford end, like to make sure the ref sees it. So
they respect each other's dark arts.
Yeah, probably, that's actually probably spot on, to be honest, Franco. But yeah, I was impressed by him today. Yeah, he's obviously been out. He's made it clear that he wants to play in this game, as Brent just said there. And very decent performance. Didn't show too much of stepping on to a player with many interceptions, but then they don't really play that game because they didn't have the ball enough. But what he had to do was decent. And that header was just, it's a shame it didn't go in. It's a shame.
Yeah, true. So you never really know what was going to happen at the second half. How we're going to come out this season? You know what I mean? No, I mean, obviously that's, you can't predict the future. That's an obvious statement. That wasn't what I'm saying. Second half, you never really know how we're going to respond to that, going down sort of 2-1 towards the end of the half. But what a response we had, Bren. You can't really argue with that. And it's a really nice goal from Bentancur. Very, very happy for him.
Yeah, no, it was a surprise. It was the annoying thing with watching, because out here we watch it on streaming. There's the Star Plus streaming. I don't know if you know what that is in England. But I sort of saw an announcement on WhatsApp, on the Brazil Spurs WhatsApp, go! And I was like, oh, fuck. And then, so obviously I knew, but then there was a delay of a minute. But no, it was really well worked goal. And all through midfield. And that was the thing, we were sort of critical of the midfield, obviously having Højbjerg and Skip in there, but we sort of worked it well. There seemed sort of acres of space for us to break. And it was a really good sort of interplay. I don't know if it was Eriksen who stopped tracking the run. And he sort of ran onto Evans, and but what a hit. And so happy for him as well. His celebrations afterwards. That's the image of this game, is Bentancur sort of reeling away with his arms out. What a beautiful moment. Because we're so happy to have him back. It's so important to have him back as well. But yeah, just what a hit. I mean, again, sort of all in that sort of similar part of the area as two of the other goals. Unana, no chance, just over him. Yeah, beautiful goal, and so happy for Rodrigo Bentancur.
No, it's good. And an assist from Werner, who may as well talk about him quickly now, Paul.
Yeah.
It was an all right debut, wasn't it? You know, if he hadn't have tried a few of his shots, you probably wouldn't have too much to moan about.
The one that went out towards the corner flag off his right foot.
Yeah, that one.
That one. Yeah, that was a bit weird. As I say, you know, he's obviously kept himself in very decent nick, obviously, because he's come straight and played 90 minutes in a fairly high intensive game. He's playing, he's playing out wide. I thought he held his width really, really well. I know Ten Hag swapped Diallo and Aaron Wan-Bissaka over as well. So it was, to help him to deal with probably Brendan Johnson more than Timo Werner. But he was up against probably a different fullback he thought he'd be up against. Yeah, the assist, it was not the greatest ball from Skip in the inside left position. Push him a bit wide, comes and gets it. Faces defender up, and as Brendan's just said there, Rodrigo Bentancur has just ghosted past Christian Eriksen. He's not even bothered to track him. Edge of the D, rolls it into him, and nicely weighted as well, because obviously, you know, it's fairly easy to overhit those passes or underhit them, and the chance is gone. But no, Werner did okay today. He's probably going to get quite a run in games, probably on the other side as well. I think Johnson needs to get benched, which we'll talk about in a minute. But to answer your question, I thought Werner was more than adequate, and just wish he could be a bit more kind of, what can I say, on target, maybe, with his shooting. A bit more kind of accurate is what I'm trying to get at. Really,
yeah, the crowd loved it, didn't they? When he had a few sort of skyward shots, the crowd were on to him. Because he's a new signing, and I think Manu, like, they were in for him as well. So I think the fans were just a bit like, they were loving it when he missed a couple. But, yeah, so happy for him to get the assist.
Also, he shouldn't be wearing gloves as well. He's come from like he's come from like a kind of like a cold country, and he knows what it's like in this country. He shouldn't be wearing gloves. I could give Rodrigo Bentancur, but that's fine. You know, he can wear gloves.
Well, they wear gloves in Germany. I'm sure Germany, but they you can find gloves in a supermarket or in a shop in Germany.
A footballer of Timo Werner's kind of heritage, i.e. from like, you know, kind of Europe, shouldn't be wearing.
Should be used to it.
Come on, Brent. Stop it now, Brent. Brent, do you really want to like let people know why you missed the first part of the second half?
That was the first goal I missed.
I was at first going,
I went up to put my speedos on because I was doing a barbecue and I was like, I'm going to get a bit dirty, a bit cold and meat on me, so I'm going to put on my speedos and jump in the pool. And so I went up to put my speedos on, like just to kick off, and then come down with 1-0 down. I only literally just like, since we recorded, seen their first goal.
Nice goal, eh? All right, I'll let you do it now, Paul. Moan about Johnson. The thing is, like, it's not a moan, but it's just becoming a bit of a common trope now, isn't it? Things we talked a lot about when Conte pods became very similar. We're moaning about the same things, and this has kind of been brewing for a couple of weeks. We've been talking about wasteful of our opportunities, and the second half was an example of that. You know, we had lots of opportunities, but we also broke a lot and didn't create anything from it. And a lot of that was down to Johnson, wasn't it?
Yeah, it is. And you and I, along with probably quite a lot of people who listen to this podcast, we see him at the stadium at the Lane, and you see a bit more of like what he can offer. Away from home, he's just not doing it today. He was up against Aaron Wan-Bissaka, as I said, because they swapped Dalot over with him as well. Bissaka is probably the best one-on-one defender at tackling and recovering in the league. He was at like that.
And he's quick.
He's quick. He's got a very sharp turning circle and he's quick as well. Okay. Brian Johnson realises that. So instead of like trying to take him back towards his own goal, what he does is that he takes the ball with his back to Bissaka to try and protect it, even though there's a gap where he could like face up and try and take him on, and the ball goes inside. And therefore, the ball's not going forward, as opposed to somebody like Kulusevski, who will come towards a ball on a half turn and start something going forward. I also think he lets his head drop far too quickly when it's not going right for him as well. A little bit like Richarlison did when we didn't know he was injured and the issues that he was having off the field. He lets his head drop far, far too easily. Also, I would say 60% of the time when there is an easier pass on, Johnson doesn't take it, and I'll say 50% of the time when he gets into position to cross the ball that it goes not even in the right postcode for the attacker. Yes, I know he's got assists already, and we've seen it, especially at the Lane when he's slotted in Richarlison a couple of times. So we know he can do it, which makes it all the more galling when he can't do it on a regular basis. I'm not asking for perfection, but I'm asking for at least 78% of the time when he gets into that position when he's going towards a byline, and all he's got to do is cut it back to the 18-yard box or the penalty spot or the edge of the 6-yard box, that he does it correctly. Today, he overhit loads of them. He was either two. The first defender cuts it out, or he overhits it and he goes out over to the other side for a throw-in or out towards a byline. He's not good enough. I don't think he's going to make it with us. And I'm going early with this. I said it pretty much since. I know when Seb was on a couple of weeks ago, it was like, give him time. He might be holding an injury or whatever. He's not. These are things that I believe are not about his coaching, about Angel, the coaching team's coaching. It's about him as a person. The only thing I can think about is that he's a little bit overawed by the whole situation at the moment. I don't know. That's the only excuse I can make for him, because he's just... And defensively, don't get me started on him, because he just does fuck all. Absolutely fuck all. And that annoys me, because you've got Son when Son's on the other side, or Kulusevski, and they're busting the gut to get back to help out their fullback and help out the midfield. Johnson doesn't do that. So I think maybe the whole thing might just be a bit too big for him. We'll see, but I just don't see him. He's not a starter for us. When everybody's fit, he's not a starter. Nowhere near.
Can I defend him a little bit? Yeah, like, he was born May 23rd, 2001. But the music at that time, number one, was Romeo by Basement Jacks. So I don't really know what my point is, but
I was going to say, where the fuck are you going with this, Brent?
I'm just saying he's fucking young. Like, come on, give him a break. Jesus, like, he was born in 2000. He's 22.
Pepe Matassar's young. Destiny of Doggy's young.
But they've got different roles to play. Come on. Like, I don't know. I think that we can he's got attributes and see something.
What attributes has he got? It's pace. He's got one trick. He's got pace.
I think the way I would sum it up is he does look a little bit timid in games, and he looks like he's not quite got that aggression. And for someone of his stature and his athleticism, you'd think that he could be just absolutely bullying defenders. And I know today he was up against Wan-Bissaka, who's, again, another good, strong, fast, quick defender. So it was going to be a difficult matchup. And I think that's just where he struggled today. The difference will be is if he can add anything else to his game rather than just directness and pace, because I've not really seen too many tricks. Do you know what I mean? I've not really seen too much skill. I've not really seen him drop shoulders much today. When he did, he sort of looked like he could have been tackled quite easily. He just needs to work on it. But I don't think he's a busted flush, Paul. I think that's writing him off this early and for that much money. Levy won't be happy with you saying that anyway. It's a concern if we've got this one wrong. But, you know, Ange wanted him. That's the thing.
Okay.
No, I mean, that's not a reason to, you know, to say that he's definitely going to be a success. I know, like, we all love Ange, but yeah, doesn't mean that he's going to be brilliant. And I guess that will be a test, won't it? The players that he's brought in, he's identified which one of them is going to be successful or not. The one thing is that he's getting games and he's getting game time. And you know, when you see, like, Brian Hill come on. If Johnson is not going to make it, like, what does that make Brian Hill? Do you know what I mean?
Well, I think if Perisic hadn't done his knee, I think he will be out by now. I think we would have sent him back to sunny Spain or somewhere warm where he wants to go, and he can grow his moustache and grow his hair long, and you know, flitting out of games, and like maybe go to Ron Bilas and get himself a coffee and sit down and enjoy life, because he's not going to make it in the Premier League. I feel so negative towards our wide players. I'm sorry, but Johnson is.
Well, it's frustrating because they get in so many times, don't they? The ball gets out to them so often in these dangerous areas, and then we're just not taking those opportunities.
Well, it is frustrating as well, and these are elite kind of like players, which means that they're not stupid, which means they know what they should be doing on a regular basis. And I've said it before, the ball between a fullback and the centre back is on a lot of the time on Johnson's side, from Højbjerg or Saar or even Skip when he plays on the right hand side as the eight. And Johnson doesn't seem to offer for it. And if he's been clocked and he was clocked at 31.2 kilometres an hour against Liverpool last season, the kid is rapid. The kid has got pace to, but we saw a Werner in 5-10 meters. You know, Werner's got that little electric pace. He's got that. He's not got that Bale-esque pace, but in that with the ball, he can make himself a yard with his acceleration with the ball and put the ball in or cut back and make the defender think. Johnson hasn't got that at all. He's got one thing, which is pace. So you've got to play in front of him, and you've got to run onto it. And if you've got a good
That's one thing. He's got to get good at timing his runs, and we've got to get good at finding, haven't we? And so, I mean, to be fair, that is the way we play. You know, Porro in that little dropping into that little area in the midfield as well. He quite often has the chance to do that. So we've just got to make it happen. But you're right. Training ground. He just needs to get more consistent. Because if he can't put in a decent cross, if he's either not getting it past the first man or he's hitting it too hard, that's something you can work on, surely.
Yeah, but also, don't drop his head. Just keep at
exactly,
it.
Exactly. Be confident, and because he's delivered. We've got some good assists from him. There's been two identical ones for Richarlison, one against Everton, one against Bournemouth. There's a player there, but he's so young, and as are a lot of our players. A lot of our players they're gonna make these mistakes. They have to grow. They're gonna have to get confident, like you said. Keep your head up. See what's going on. Keep the passing crisp. And Ange, like, if you watch those sort of training videos with Ange, that's what he's about. It's like, right, don't be on the ball too long. Pass it long. Keep it moving, and he'll learn. He'll grow. I've got faith in him that it will come good.
Yeah, same. I thought the midfield were all pretty good today. I know you absolutely like laughed at me for saying I thought Højbjerg played quite well. But I mean, that's a caveat. It's not like I'm saying Højbjerg was one of the best players on the pitch. That was Højbjerg did all right for himself today, I thought. Like, he didn't frustrate me too much. I know he maybe lost the ball a few times, but his passing accuracy was better than Bentancur's. And I've got Steve Diver telling me he gave the ball away too much. So look, I thought they all did all right in the midfield today. Admittedly, the Man United midfield is a bit misshapen and a bit rubbish. But I thought we did well in midfield. The defence weren't troubled on the whole. And I thought, like we said, if it weren't for the wide players, Rishi had a really good game. We just needed to have got some better balls into him. So I think I agree now, Paul. I do think it was probably an opportunity lost.
I know we've got a lot of players missing. I know Angie's only been here like 5 minutes, and Ten Hag's been here two seasons, whatever he's been here before. Mm. But that did feel like we have got more of an identity about us, and more systems and patterns of play than they've got. Yes, I know they've got players out. I know they're going through a bit of a hard time off the field. They've spent like £400 million or whatever. So caveat about that. But it just felt like, even with the players that you mentioned at top of the pod here that we've got out, we should have beaten them today because you know that second half.
How many saves did Onana have to make? There was the one from Richarlison, which was from sort of the edge of the area, and it was a good hit, but an easy enough save to make. We didn't test him enough. So yes, we had the territory. Yes, we had the possession, but we didn't have the cutting edge. So we bossed it. If you look at the stats, yeah, we bossed it. But I don't think we did enough second half to win it.
We
had one shot on target. But let's be honest, I mean, Man United, I think, had two touches in our box in the second half.
that McTominay header as well.
That was one of them right at the end. But they hardly got in our box. They hardly troubled us. I mean, the mad thing is that they scored both their goals in the first half, but in the second half, they only had two shots, or maybe maybe three shots, but they doubled their XG because they created better chances. It was like a very strange game.
We went three at the back as well, didn't we? We bought we went through it at the back. I know Mickey went down with cramp.
How bad is that? Do we know?
Nah,
he said it's just.
I mean, it was Garnacho had his calf. He's pushing his toes back with his leg fully extended. So the calf muscles, it wasn't anywhere near his hamstring, because if it was his hamstring, he wouldn't be able to lift his leg up because of where the.
He said post match it's just cramp.
I didn't know that. Okay, yeah, that was just cramp. But we went through it at the back. Dragšin, he looked okay. Really nice to see him. So it was good to go slightly different formation. And unfortunately, that's when when he was on the field, he might have let McTominay go in for that free header, which would have been an absolute sickener if they scored at that point there. But to finalise, 2 points dropped in my opinion.
There we go. But still lots to be happy. But the fact is, we're going to Man United, a place where we never win. I know we did during lockdown, but we never win there really, and we're disappointed. Coming away from that with 60 odd percent possession, bossing the chances, and coming away with it feeling slightly upset, even though half of our best players weren't on the pitch. So there you go. I think there's a lot to be positive about. And the one thing again that I would love about Ange is that talking to him in the I think it was the pre-match or the post-match, he doesn't moan about having players out. I watched the pre-match his interview, and he just said, we've got some players out, and it's different profiles in midfield, but it's like they obviously give different things, but he said the tactics are the same, the players know what they've got to do, they're all looking forward to it, we've been working on it all week. And the other thing he said was that our set pieces, our attacking set pieces are done by Mason, apparently.
Wow,
is that right?
Defensive set pieces is Jedinak. So he said they've been working really hard. He said Mason's been, doing really well working with Porro and the boys to get those chances. But you've got to admit that they're so much better. I know, Eriksen was attempting to do one thing at that near post, but, we seem to be much more threatening from those set pieces this season, don't we?
You're right. Absolutely right. Yeah, he seemed very proud of them at the when he did the Tottenham Spurs play post match. He seemed like he was, genuinely kind of really impressed by the boys that, they dug in and stuff. I looked at that and thought, the guys are going to basically do just enough in the first half, first 45, 50, 60 minutes, because there isn't a lot of them. There isn't a lot to come on to replace them, so they're going to have to maybe they're going to have to eke out their energy during this game. And I felt, yeah, we certainly kind of dropped intensity from about 65 minutes on. I think also Man U dropped it as well, to be honest. But Ange alluded to like being really, really proud of the people, the guys that gave him full 90, people like Werner and stuff. He seemed genuinely like really happy and like quite struck with the effort they put in, which is nice. He's just great. He's great. I mean, I must admit, I'd run through a wall for him, to be honest. I would. If he sat me down, Paul, I need you to stay on Bruno Fernandes' ass. As soon as even if he comes off for half time, I want you up his ass like for 90 minutes. I'd be right, Ange. And I would put myself in a hole to do that for him. And you just want to run all day for the mate. He's just like, yeah, mate. And he's like so happy. He never looks at the interviewer in the face. He's always looking down. He's very judge. He's very judge what he says. And he's very thoughtful. And he's got the club at best interest at heart, which only can mean he's got me as a player with my best interest at heart. And of course you're going to respond to that. He's Gucci. He's brilliant. He's really
one thing I love about Ange is his calmness as well. Because after we've gone through sort of Mourinho and Conte and the sort of emotion and anger, he's just calm. He's so cool, and I think that emanates through the team. I think that the players sort of react to that. Not obviously there's the communication, and I just find him like after everything we've been through the last sort of 4 years. Just to have a calm manager that you just sort of, everything's going to be all right. You know what I mean? Like, it's fine. Conceded a couple of goals today. It's all right. Like, it just oozes calmness. And that's what I love about Ange as well. And we may not win. We'll give it a go. But he's never overreacted. He never seen really sort of angry or moaning. He's just calm. And that, I love that about him.
Top man. Right, we'll draw this one to a close. Let me just quickly mention football prizes. Great prize this week. Absolutely great prize. A 2023-24 Spurs squad signed shirt. Nice. All of the names are on there on the new shirt. Yeah, it's looking really good. And you've got four instant wins, one of which is a signed Bissouma shirt, one of which is a signed Gazza shirt.
Whew.
So, yeah, that's an absolute bumper.
Choo-choo, tickets, get on that train. Choo-choo,
isn't it? Choo-choo. There's not too many left, there's 74 tickets left out of the 249. Tickets are £3.95 each, and the competition ends on the 19th. So you've still got 5 days, but it looks like those tickets are going to run out, so get in there quick. Don't forget, with the code CR10, you'll get a 10% discount on your ticket price. And if you join our Patreon, patreon.com/thetutoringpodcast, you will get a code for 15% off your ticket price. So get involved there. Lots of other great competitions at footballprizes.co.uk. Right, Mr. Muir, thank you for joining as always.
Yeah, no worries. Yeah, thanks for having me on. It was good. And yeah, just to reiterate that, what Frank was saying about Patreon, I was in the group chat today talking about the game, and yeah, Rich was in there, Pat Chan, YF90, Phil Ambrose, Nelly, all these guys. Maxime was in there as well, Matthew Moroni. It was good, as I keep saying, it's a worldwide chat. People with different ideas, people with different kind of takes on what we're doing. Some are pretty kind of emotional, normally people like me. And then some
I was going to say, most people who are in there are all very respectful and calm, Paul.
Apart from me, yeah. And then we've got other people like maybe Paul should think about this. Oh, yeah, it's a really good idea. So if you want to come and get involved in a bit of that and get yourself some nice merch, then please do come in. But the guys today, it was because obviously if we're away, if we're at home at game, I'm at the game. And then obviously if I'm away, sometimes I'm watching it where I can't kind of like chat on Slack. But if you do want to get involved in that, then come along and join our Patreon, because it is a good place. It's good. So cheers. But yeah, thanks for having me on, mate. It was good today. Thank you.
No worries. And another benefit, Bren, you can tell him, because you'll be coming over soon.
Yeah, yeah. I'm fine on Sunday. I'm over to the UK. We're doing a joint social with the Fighting Cock, with Sandro on the 5th of Feb. It's going to be at the Bellevue Pub in Clapham. We're going to sort of tweet out and put on our Facebook page the details. But yeah, be an amazing night with the big guy. And yeah, be good laugh. A few beers with the Cheese and crew and Sandro and the Fighting Cock guys. It's going to be a great night. So 5th of Feb at Bellevue Pub in Clapham. And we'll put out the details on our socials.
Nice one. Cheers for joining anyway, Bren.
Oh, always a pleasure, mate. We've got to go down there now and barbecue some goat. So, good chatting, man.
Top stuff. don't forget, everyone, look out for the YouTube guys. They'll be back Monday.
That'll be me.
Maybe Woodweek.
Be me tomorrow.
Oh, that'll be Bren back again before he starts on travels back over here.
Back again.
Doing the Monday pod. So, yeah, you get to listen to Bren asking other people for their opinions on the Monday. And then, obviously, back on the Friday doing the preview for next week's. We're trying to get the Cooler and HG back to do some preview shows on the pod. So, look out for that in the near future as well. Right. Until next time. Come on, you Spurs.
Come on, you Spurs.
Come on, you Spurs.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.